I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final hour of the big show. Barry is out. He is free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty he is free at last. He'll be back tomorrow. He got out of jury duty. He was not selected. He did take the time to check in with us, I think only because we caught him. He was liking and subtweeting, and we realized, well, that means he must be communicating, which means he must be out, which means he had to admit to us he was. So he's out. So he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, Nick doing a great job filling in for him. Tyler filling in for you. As we continue to roll on, I wanted to get to this Rockets thing because, look, if the Wolves are the third best team in the West, whether Jimmy Butler played or not, and the Rockets swept them this year, it just further validates everybody's position. It's a two-team race, and it's coming down to the Western Conference Finals, Rockets-Warriors. The more important thing to me, and we talked about this throughout the year, and I told you in all my experiences with the Rockets have always lacked an enforcer. I thought it would be Nene. It wasn't. Back before then, I thought Dikembe or someone like that, when he was coming off the bench, would be that guy, and it wasn't. You need someone that's going to protect James Harden and Chris Paul. And last night, you got it. We gave him a little bit of heat when he first got to the team that Gerald Green needed to slow his roll, and that's probably why he didn't play for a good stretch of games after he was suspended by the league, because D'Antoni was like, look, you don't do those kind of things. We brought you in here to play and be available. But last night, I loved every bit of it. If you didn't see it, Gorgui Dieng of the Timberwolves, a seven-footer, got into it with Chris Paul. The ball went out of bounds, and he shoves Paul to the ground. And without blinking an eye, Gerald Green came up with a running kind of a forearm shoulder that sent Dieng into the front row and basically sent a message that you touch us and we're going to touch you.
That was my favorite part of the whole situation, was the fact that there was absolutely no hesitation on Gerald Green's part. Like right after he pushed Chris Paul down to the ground, you saw Gerald Green shove Dieng like that into the front row, into the floor seats. So I appreciate that. Now you got, I guess, PJ Tucker and Gerald Green who are, I guess, like one and 1A in terms of enforcers. PJ Tucker's obviously getting a lot more minutes, so I guess he deserves the title more than he does.
I still think PJ's a guy, not taking any crap from anybody, and will knock you on your ass if you touch anybody.
Right.
But I think that it helps to have more than one guy that's on that wavelength, and especially with the depth we've talked about that they have with Joe Johnson, Gerald Green, and who's going to be in that final rotation. Ryan Anderson came back last night and contributed. It'll be interesting, but it's encouraging to know that, hey, this team is not just saying they're together. We heard all about how the teams were really tight with Dwight Howard. They weren't. Right. There was a line drawn in the sand. Are you on Team Dwight, Team James? They hated each other, and so it went. Here, it's believable, and that helps, man. When you're going into the foxhole with guys that you trust that don't have your back, it's a fun experience for the team, but overall, it helps when you need to be together and on the same page executing late in games. I think it's a fantastic deal. Now, the only thing that I will say is because, as you mentioned, it spilled into the front row, because Dieng ended up hitting people in the front row,
right?
I would expect Gerald Green is going to get suspended.
And I don't know that Mike D'Antoni would be upset, like, and we don't even know for sure he was upset with the last one, but he didn't play, what,
for quite
one
a
or
while.
Two games?
There were several games that he didn't play after that.
After that. So I don't know how upset Mike D'Antoni is about the situation. I don't think he should be. Chris Paul was on record, at least according to the Houston Chronicle, that he will pick up the tab and fines.
That's the other thing.
Another sentiment to the camaraderie and the accountability that is on this team right now, which, like you mentioned, with Dwight Howard and James Harden, just was not on this team.
So Paul comes out today and says, if he gets fined, I'm picking it up. I would assume that if he misses a game check, he's going to pick it up because he appreciates what his teammate did to have his back. That just sends a great message inside and out for this squad. And says a lot about the character and exactly what Mike D'Antoni had hoped to build in terms of the culture of this team. I love all of it. I think it's fantastic, and I hope it continues because it was fantastic to see that happen last night. Now, yeah. The big test is tomorrow night. Portland, winning 13 in a row, has catapulted themselves into the top four in the West.
Yep.
They got a great backcourt. They're red hot. Rockets looking to try and break a streak that so that they don't get close to getting to where the Rockets have been with the longest streak in the regular season this year. Going to be a good matchup tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mentioned to you before the show that they started their 13-game win streak with a win against the Warriors, and then they had another win in that. So two games in that 13-game win streak was against the Warriors. Now, we all know that the Warriors, like you mentioned, they've been banged up. So how many, I don't know, of those two
it's
games.
Over. First of all, the regular season's over. It's in my mind, Golden State just folded up the tents and said, look, our main thing for us is to be healthy. You win Rockets regular season. You win one seed. You win all that. And then keep in mind what I said. You also realize it can all be gone in one fall swoop if you lose it in the first two games of the Western Conference Finals or whenever you meet Golden State. So be it. As long as they're healthy, they still believe they can play right. Anybody at any time.
All right, and then the other thing that we didn't mention is the Alvin Gentry, the coach of the Pelicans who got fined, was it $15,000 for his postgame comments?
$15,000, yep. And Doc Rivers got it,
too. Is that the standard fee?
No. No, it's not standard, but I think it's becoming standard this week because everybody's bitching about the officials. Stan Van Gundy just came out, and he bitched about him, too. He's going to get at least $15,000. It seems like it's because it's...
Or maybe because he had a technical in the game, and then he followed it up, and he doubled up, and he went post-game.
It's essentially the precedence. And the precedence recently is if I find Doc Rivers for bitching about the Rockets two games ago, then I'm going to find Gentry the same amount for doing the same thing the next game because it happened so close together.
Right.
But I think that this is something that the Rockets fans need to keep their eye on. That is the fact that coaches are looking to send a message now. It's the way Phil Jackson used to manipulate the officials in a seven-game series and say,
right,
they, you know, either they'd let us play or they were too tight. And the next game, he knew he was going to get what he wanted for that fit his team in terms of the officiating. I think you're going to see this like you did with Harden a few years ago when all of a sudden everybody was saying he draws too much incidental contact with the crossover. The Euro step is actually a travel. They stopped calling the fouls on him going to the basket. They started calling travels on him a little bit more. And it changed the way James played because he had to adjust the way they were calling the games. This is a clear-cut message from some players, from coaches with some playoff experience saying, I think James Harden travels. I think he gets too many egregious calls. I think it's just something to keep an eye on. That watch how the officials call him now right. The rest of the season.
And it's a smart move, even if they don't believe in it. Even if they don't believe that the Eurostep is a travel, even if they don't believe that Harden is getting all these foul calls that he doesn't deserve, it's smart to, as a coach, kind of be in the official's ear or not just the officials, but the NBA's ear and say, look, man, Harden is getting all these calls that he shouldn't get, and we want to put a stop to this. It's going to make them hesitate if you're official, especially in the playoffs. And there's so much more pressure and stress that goes along with it. But going back to Alvin Gentry, the one thing that I guess ticked him off before he went to the post-game press conference and made all those comments that got him $15,000 fine was the fact that Harden, and we talked about this before the show, I guess it's in the gathering of the gather of the shoot.
Yeah.
And he just tapped his hand. So is that technically a foul if he just tapped Harden's hand?
Contact on any part of the shooter's arms in the shooting motion constitutes a foul. Therefore, it comes down to was he in the act of shooting or not. And the way that the NBA technically defines it is when the player begins the gather, and from the gather it means from the time he either stops from the dribble or starts the process of the shooting motion by taking the ball from the waist or wherever it is and bringing it up into the start of a shot, that is the gather. At any point a foul occurs from that point forward, shots will be given. Free throws, that is. The biggest thing is Gentry said, look, I've never complained about officials like this, and I'm doing it. Go back and look. It was a slam dunk. There's no way that you can't tell me that deserved to be free throws and a foul. And if you do feel that way, I'll stop complaining. Alvin Gentry, stop complaining.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, if I was a referee and I was really paying attention and I saw that little light tap that Jrue Holiday, you know, did on Harden's arm when he went up for the three, I might have let it go. But if in the rule book it says contact in the act of shooting is a foul.
Now, they're tightening it up to where they've been a little bit more like, because if on the perimeter, up on the top of the key, for instance, the hand down, man down thing, Harden looks to see where the arm is, and then in the process of dribbling, kind of guides himself into that arm and then tries to go up in the shooting motion. They've been putting the kibosh on that, saying, no, that's a on the ground foul, that's a side out of bounds. On the play that Gentry's talking about, completely got it wrong. I think it definitely was a foul. Harden was already up going to shoot the corner three. The contact was made on the shooting arm. Now, I don't disagree with him that Anthony Davis got undercut, that there were some calls that could have gone the other way. But as it relates to Harden, that one there, I can't agree with him.
And I don't remember the official that he was talking to, because you know how officials, they all have their different personalities.
Sure.
And some players will go a bit further with certain officials because they know that particular official has a little more patience than perhaps another official. So I don't know if he really walked away from the ref like he said he did to avoid the technical call, but he did get the technical, and then he piled on at the post-game press conference. And criticize the refs. Players and coaches these days, they don't want the fines. They're actually...
Well, but now he said in terms of the technical, and Tyler, I don't know if we have it in the system. If we don't, it's fine. But his post-game comment on the technical was, I intentionally turned my back and walked away from the official to make sure that I did not get a T, and I still got one.
Okay.
That was his biggest concern.
It was hard to tell from when I was... I didn't really pay attention to whether or not he was like going at the ref really bad. Did he have like facial expression that indicated that he was clearly really, really angry? Or did he just simply walk away? In any case, I guess if he was going to get fined or if he's going to make a move like that, it's probably better to do it
in the
regular season.
Here's what Gentry sounded like post-game.
And so then it comes down to a few plays in the game. You can't guess on plays when you got teams playing for playoff spots. You can't guess on the game. You can't guess on a foul. When a guy's got his hands on his chest and he's got his hand in and you call a three-point shot, that's not right. That's not correct. That's not the way you do it. And then you give them the ball back on another play when they undercut a player, that's not right either. That's not correct. That's not the way you call the game. It's not. And then when you can get technical fouls from walking away from a guy, then this league has really changed. I walked away from him so I wouldn't get a technical. That being said, I thought we did everything we could to try to win the game. That's a great team down there.
Yeah, he was pretty angry. Pretty heated.
I heard the whole thing this morning whenever Granato and Lance played it, but... In this part where he's like, he's kind of being like loving of the Rockets, mm-hmm. and then he just flips a switch again and he goes back into ranting.
He was actually in the Rockets locker room after that. D'Antoni pulled out his wallet and said, hey, you may need a few bucks because you're going to get, they were joking about how he was going to get fined. But at the same time, he was still trying to make sure that the Rockets and Harden didn't take it personally, said Harden's hands down the MVP. But at the same time, look, this is two coaches in a row now setting a precedence that I'm telling you, just keep an eye on it because watch the way the games are going to be officiated. Watch if it's going to be a factor because it's something you might have to consider as the Rockets go into the postseason if that's the way they're going to change the way they call games.
I feel like the sensitivity has grown on both sides. The sensitivity has grown with players. They're nagging at refs probably a little
it's
too much.
It's been a bad year.
And refs are obviously, their sensitivity has increased a bit too because they can see star players coming at them and coming at them pretty hard. Coaches are coming at them. They don't care, and when they're really heated, in the moment, they're not really thinking about the fine. You know, they're just. I mean, you could tell he was upset in that audio.
It sounded like he got off of Bubba Gump Shrimp House or something.
I don't know
like
if that's how he talks normally.
He's a little slower, but I mean, you can get boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, Harden shrimp.
Yeah.
All right, Sheldon, hang in there. We're going to get you on Harden when we come back. We'll continue to roll on. Don't forget, the guests aplenty today as Barry's on jury duty. Adam Rank, NFL expert, joining us at 3:30. We'll talk about the Honey Badger and the fact that the Texans quietly have had a really nice offseason to this point in addressing some of the needs that they have as a football team. That and a whole lot more. It's Nick. It's Barry's on... No, it's jury duty. So it's Nick, it's Tyler, and it's Joel. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, Barry out of jury duty, but in it long enough to be out today. Nick filling in gracefully for him, Tyler filling in for Nick. It's a makeshift. That's how we do things when we have wins against replacement or war, and how we go to war against the competition. Our wins against replacement are still right up there with the best in baseball, basketball, football, and other sports.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you all, if you're interested in some baseball with the Astros still at spring training, great time to catch some really good baseball here locally. Check out Rice Baseball as they're taking on A&M Tuesday, March the 20th. That's tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., beautiful Reckling Park. You can see two premier college baseball teams duking it out on a beautiful night in Houston. Tickets starting as low as just $12. For single-game ticket information, all you got to do is call 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/BSBTicks and check them out. But a great environment to watch some really top competition in the college baseball game, Rice Owls Baseball. We were talking Rockets before the break, Nicholas, yep, and Tyler, and breaking it down a little bit in terms of what to look for and what to expect, not only tomorrow night against Portland, but down the stretch the rest of the way, because of the fact that coaches are bitching, which means they're going to watch how the officials call James Harden in particular, but the Rockets overall, going to be interesting to see if that has an effect on the style of play and what the Rockets can get away with. But Shelton wants to get in here and talk a little bit about Harden. What's up, Shelton?
James is a shooter, so what he do, he catches a guy with his hands out, he's initiated the contact. So as he initiated the contact, he gets executed. Most guys won't get it. That's like what they did the yield step. They say he was doing the same thing. So officials are not watching it.
We got a bad connection. If you want to call it back, that's fine. But look, exactly what you're saying is exactly the point I'm making. The same way that they altered the way they called the Euro step, and because Harden was initiating the contact, they quit calling it, giving him the advantage of getting the foul and going to the line. Just the way coaches have started to highlight and accentuate that he travels when he does the jab step and steps back. And if you really slow it down, Steve Kerr started this one, you can see that it's literally three steps depending on when he stops the dribble to pull back. That's something that they're going to crack down on. This is the kind of thing. And the big thing with this is, we're not saying it's a foul, not a foul. The big thing with this one is, was he in the act of shooting? Do you give him three free throws or just say, yeah, there was contact. It was before he started the gather for the shot. So it's a side out as opposed to three free throws, which is almost a given. He's going to make them.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if they begin to crack down on the foul calling in the act of shooting. But the Euro step, the only thing, I mean, that's so hard to see as a ref. If they really decide to crack down on whether or not that Euro step is a travel or not, they're just going to call a travel every time he does a Euro step or anything that looks close to a Euro step. So that could be a potential disadvantage and a big disadvantage for James Harden going into the post game, going into the playoffs. It's going to be hard to tell whether or not the refs, they're obviously going to sit down. I don't know how often these refs or officials sit down and have meetings and look back in footage. Joel, you're probably more in tune with that. But how do you crack down on the Euro step? How do you do that? The only way is you just start calling it a travel. And every time he does that, every time he does a Euro step and he's moving that ball from side to side, they're going to dub that a Euro step.
But you don't give him the benefit of getting the whistle every time he draws contact when he does the Euro step. There's two ways to call that that hinders the Rockets.
Yep.
That's what they're going to do in this case, in this scenario. They're going to watch it more from a footsteps perspective of traveling. And from the standpoint of when he draws contact, they're not going to be as apt to give him three free throws. If they call it at all, they're going to call it with a side out of bounds and not give him the benefit of the free throw.
Right, and this should be a mini goal for James Harden in that in the event that they do crack down on these calls, that he keeps his frustration levels at a decent, you know, don't get too crazy. Depend on your teammates. You got great role players. You know, now you've got, I feel like, two enforcers in Gerald Green and PJ Tucker, because we've seen their behavior on the court, not in a bad way, but good behavior in terms of getting their teammates back. So for James Harden, the only thing I would say is don't get too frustrated in the event that they do start cracking down, because you don't want it to affect your game that much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We covered there some Rockets. We've talked about U of H. We've talked Texans. About everything but the Texans, and that's with good reason, because Adam Rank of NFL Network's coming up next. We're going to ask him about the Honey Badger, as the one-time LSU Tiger is coming to H-Town on a one-year deal. He's already out there tweeting, go, with an G-E-A-U-X, go cop that 32 jersey in Texan blue. That is a nice addition to a secondary that we identified as a position of need, just like offensive line is, and just like the other things the Texans have quietly done. We'll talk to Adam Rank and get his opinion on what the Texans have done in Brian Gaines' first go-through in free agency and as they head up to the draft. That's coming up next at 3:30. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Texas Can Academies. If you haven't heard me speaking in the past about this, you've been under a rock, because Texas Can Academies is a great program here in the Houston area, and the reason why I like it is it's Houstonians helping kids in need in H-Town. It all stays here locally. So with the hurricane a while back and all the different things that have happened, whether your insurance covered it or not, a lot of people lost vehicles, and those vehicles, even though they're not running, are still on your property. It could be a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer. Even if it's not running, you want to get rid of it. You don't want to even pay even more by having to pay a tow truck. All you have to do is call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with the tow truck. They take it away. They do all the paperwork. You mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. You also get a tax deduction, and that's where the process really begins, because your donation takes away the distractions that kids have when they're trying to get their education. Could be book money. Could be bus fare. Could be warm meals. Could be eyeglasses. All the things that if the kid doesn't have them, makes it so much more difficult to get their education. But when they do, they can focus on the books, get their grades, and get that degree. It's a great program, and it's all here locally. Because of your donations, it all makes sense. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Please, if you can, make a donation, give to the program. It's for a great cause. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the big show. It is Nick and Joel. Barry got out of jury duty, but he had it long enough that he took a vacation day. With, of course, not taking a vacation day. That's the way Barry does business. Therefore, filling in for Nick, it is Tyler Scott, who has a condominium down the hallway. He just had to put the remote down long enough to join us. Tyler, we appreciate you. And we've talked a lot of different things. The one thing we haven't really gotten to is the additions to the Houston Texans. I wrote an article for Sports Map a week or so ago on how crucial this was in his first year as general manager for Brian Gain. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. I would say so far so good in terms of kind of under the radar, but doing a nice job of addressing needs for this team. With that being said, we can get an outsider's perspective that is an expert at his field. It's Adam Rank, who's joined us in the past. Adam, at Adam Rank on Twitter and part of the NFL Network, always a great follow and read, but we appreciate him spending some time with us. And Adam, as I was saying in the intro, you look at what Brian Gain has been able to do here in Houston, and normally when you dabble into free agency in the first 2-3 days, you're going to overspend. It just seems like they've addressed the secondary. They've addressed the offensive line. They've added a splash with a guy like Tyrann Mathieu. And at the same time, they haven't overpaid for the most part to get better as a football team.
No, that's 100%. That's absolutely what you want to go for. I mean, it's with anything. You don't want to always overspend. You want to be the cool guy who, you know, you're going to the baseball game or whatever. You're like, I'm not going to buy a ticket, you know, 20 minutes before first pitch when I can just wait 10 extra minutes and then a nervous scalper comes in and gets you a great deal. So I think that that's pretty much the approach that they took. And when you see a high-profile signing, though, like they got the Honey Badger, and it's cool and it energizes the fan base, but it also shows, too, when you can get a guy who really wasn't so much going at it for the money. I mean, obviously he wants to get paid. But he wanted to go into the right situation. So if I'm a fan of the Texans right now, I look at the fact that Matthew wanted to come play for the organization, wanted to be surrounded by all these great players as a positive sign that the Texans are well-respected throughout the entire NFL.
Yeah, I mean, the Honey Badger's quote today was, I had other options on the table, obviously more money, but the Texans were the best decision for me. To back up your point right there in itself tells you that a guy that was part of a Patrick Peterson secondary that was one of the best in terms of what they brought to the table, he could bring the wood. We know what kind of quarter PP is, and all of a sudden you look at him saying, hey, regardless of J.J. Watt's health, I like this defense. I like where they're going. I want to be a part of it. That says a ton about where this franchise is going.
Yeah, I also wonder, too, man, what kind of effect Deshaun Watson has. I know as a guy who enjoys fantasy and just likes, you know, high-scoring football games, how much does that play a factor into it, too, that you've got a young quarterback to lead a team? I think that anytime you were watching the Cardinals over the last, I don't know, decade or so, and you see that the turmoil they've had at the quarterback position. They've had such a bad time at the quarterback position. They thought that Mike Glennon was going to be an upgrade as their backup guy. And he's backing up Sam Bradford, so that means he's going to play. But I think that you look at that and just the overall health of the organization and how fun it is to be a team like that, that I think is on the rise. And I think the proof is right there that a lot of people also feel the same way.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects here on ESPN 97.5. Adam Rank of the NFL Network joins us right here. Going back to the Honey Badger, six games in 2016 with a shoulder injury, five games with a thumb injury. He's torn both of his ACLs. How concerned are you from an injury standpoint with Tyrann Mathieu?
Oh, I would be worried. I mean, it's the NFL, and I think a lot of guys are always at a certain risk, and that's, you know, one of the problems, you know, with a combat sport like that is that there is going to be a risk of injury, and he's obviously had his fair share. But at the same time, you know, this is March. This is what we're looking at right now. I want to win March. I want to feel good about my team, and I'll do an analogy to my own personal team that I enjoy watching with the Chicago Bears. And, you know, we signed a wide receiver who missed most of 2017. I don't care. I feel great right now. That's how I want to go about it. I think, though, there's going to be some concerns, but there's nothing you can do about it. So while you're hopeful that he can come back and play, the fact that a lot of teams were chasing him should give you a pretty good indication that he is viewed around the NFL as a highly productive player, and I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay, so look at it from the perspective of Brian Gain. We mentioned you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. He's coming in for Rick Smith. He wants to make a positive impact on the organization, the team, and, of course, the fan base. So far, so good. I mean, he's still got $40 million in cap space. We know that they're limited from a draft perspective because as a parting gift, Rick Smith took away his first and second round draft picks. But he addressed offensive line. We haven't even mentioned Aaron Colvin, but a great signing there to kind of help give them some insurance and a guy that can play really for coming from a team that, because they had the two of the best young corners in the game, didn't get as much attention, but he can play too. What do you see them going from this point forward in terms of how much more of that $40 million is he going to spend? And are there more splashes to be made without overspending?
Yeah, I don't really think that there needs to be that many more splashes. I mean, it's one thing when you have the high-profile signing is that, oh, yeah, you know, everybody's excited. You talk about it. But it is the under-the-radar signings that always end up paying the dividends, and that's what we're seeing him do his work. And it's really hard for, I think, a lot of first-time GMs or anybody who's new on the job. Like, you want to go out there and do something special. You want to make your mark. You want to go out and get your guy and do all that stuff. But the good problem to have, I guess, with Houston is that you have so many established stars as it is. It's not like you're going to go out and make just ridiculous moves and bring in guys just for the sake of bringing in guys. You know, you see a lot of new GMs do that. Really don't need to do that in Houston. And that's one of the nice things about having a team that's pretty much ready to go. And I think that objectively, if you're looking at the landscape of the AFC right now, Houston is definitely in the mix, and so there just needs to be a couple of tweaks here and there. I don't even think that they're that far away. I think they're probably a playoff team right now, as long as everybody comes back healthy and ready to go. So I don't know that you're going to win too many of the headline battles, but I think you're in a pretty good spot at the moment.
So you're okay with them not signing Nate Solder and just improving the line? As Joel mentioned, $40 million under the cap. You're okay with them not signing Nate Solder?
Well, I mean, you would want. I mean, listen, like, you want to make move. I mean, there's guys you would want on the team, definitely. Like, that's one of the things. But unfortunately, the way the NFL is working, you can only sign so many guys. So it's one of those, again, it's one of those things where you look at, you see a lot of people winning, you know, the little battles or the big headline grabbing battles like that. In a perfect world where it was like college recruiting, you would love to have all those guys. Yeah, bring everybody aboard. But, you know, you got to be smart about this and you don't want to overspend. And I think that the moves that they've made shows that he wants to build something for the future. It's not about, like, let's get one huge guy right now. Like, he's not going at it like, oh, I got to prove my point right now. He's not the guy who shows up at the bar and is like, I got to buy everybody around right now to let them know that I'm serious. He's like, you know what? I'm going to pace myself, and we're going to build a team that's going to sustain winning for a long time. So I think you guys are in good shape.
All right, so look at it overall from the perspective of a national picture, wins and losses, top grades. You look at this every day. Teams that made an impactful splash and teams that probably were a little lacking as we wrap up the most substantial part of free agency.
Well, I talked a little bit about the Bears. I thought they remade their entire offense, and it starts with the head coach bringing in Matt Nagy. I think I really like what they did. You mentioned Nate Solder a moment ago with what the Giants were able to do. And, you know, the Giants could be in a spot where if they don't want a quarterback, they could probably trade down for somebody trying to get up. And if the Giants went out, let's say they drafted Quentin Nelson, you know, if they moved down to 5 or 6, swap with Denver, they could get Quentin Nelson or somebody in there. I think they could actually, you know, really improve themselves. You'd have a rebuilt offensive line. I like, you know, it's weird. I don't mind what Jacksonville did. I know it's a big deal to let Allen Robinson go, who's a name and everything like that. But Dante Moncrief is a talented wide receiver. They were able to go to the AFC Championship game without Allen Robinson last year. So I think that they were wise not to spend the money and do what they did. And I kind of like what Tennessee, yeah, your division is like where it's really crazy. Like, Tennessee looks great. Houston looks amazing. And the Jags, you know, were probably the best team in that AFC Championship game last year, but didn't quite make it to the Super Bowl.
Adam, let's not forget, they still have Blake Bortles. Just want to let you know. That's just
how
a reminder.
Dare you? Listen, as a fan of The Good Place on NBC, I'm not here for your Blake Bortles slander.
I'm just letting you know that's the slow pitch softball that could be a home run for many radio shows in and about the division. Just throwing it out there.
All right, that's fine. Listen, he has some, you know,
shortcomings,
some bad throws occasionally, but he's good.
Good, huh? I'll remember you said that.
Hey, so the Astros repeating, Adam, real quick.
What's that now?
The Astros, are they repeating or no?
Are they repeating?
Yeah, repeating the
no. Come on, no.
You're going with the Yankees,
guys, listen,
aren't you?
You guys got your 1 year. So be good with that. Just go on. You guys had fun. And then now it's time for the Angels to take over. So it's all good.
Angels. Okay. Well, go get your Angels in the outfield. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks, Adam.
Everybody can follow him at Adam Rank or check him out NFL Network and NFL Network as the NFLNetwork.com. Adam Rank, appreciate some time with us as always, giving us his perspective and insight. We got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz next. But right now, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. CEO Josh Pestikoff and his staff here in the Houston area do a great job, and I speak from experience. I switched to Infuse Energy. I can't tell you how impactful they have been on my bills, saving me hundreds of dollars per month. Yeah, hundreds of dollars during the hot summer months on my energy bills. Because of the fact that they take the time to care, to listen and carefully structure a plan for you and your business or your family so that they know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, what rates are competitive and fair for you, and then they structure the deal accordingly. They're 100% honest, and that you'll find that out. The minute you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and they're going to try and tailor make a program for you so that you can see how effective they can be as an energy provider. You can also check them out, infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. And then you find out how great it is to work with a company that is affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. There are going to be times that they can tell you there's another company out there that can save you more or do more for you than they can, and they will fill you in on who that is because they want to be 100% honest, and they don't want to try and screw you over to try and be cheaper than the competition on the front side. But as an overall, when you look at the deal, you realize you didn't get treated like a trusted friend. That's not how they do it. They want to be there for you, and that's why you should check them out. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That decreases that carbon footprint. And as always, remember that Infuse Energy is going to make sure they take care of you, they listen, and you learn. They're a spot for you. Check them out. Infuse Energy into your life. Around, shout out to my boy Big D up in the county, pop trunk on the cop, fourth wall where they find
you, raindrops on. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back final segment, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry out on jury duty, though he's out of jury duty, and we'll be back tomorrow. Nick doing a great job filling in. Tyler filling in for Nick. You know, we all are very versatile.
We try to be.
Yeah.
Enabled. It's all about consolidating positions and keeping things as economical as possible. So if you are working here, you have to wear multiple hats. That's why producer Tyler's all over this.
Speaking of hats...
Yep,
and gear. Economical, and gear, and Tyler, because Tyler is a huge Astro gear too. Guy, too. This whole, it started last night, this whole Astros Gold Rush, where they're doing the first home weekend series, celebrating the championship. They do the Astros jerseys with the gold sparkly LeMay letters of Astros on the jersey. The hat, instead of the orange star, is a gold star, and a lot of other gear. They started selling it at Union Station at the Astros team shop last night.
Right.
People were in line by like the hundreds. Guys were bringing like Shipley's donuts for people that were waiting in line.
Limited edition, baby.
They're only doing it for a full day there, and then they're doing it at Academy. But oh my God, talk about cashing in.
Yeah. But
well, every team, like
the Royals did it. I've seen the other teams. Yeah.
I think like the Royals wore their gold jerseys like
against the Astros.
No, they wore them every Sunday.
I know they played the Astros at one point.
After they won the World Series the season after, they wore them every Sunday. Now, I think they're the only team that has done that. Now it's only like
just for the weekend
home openers, like that series. Like that's what the current World Series champions do.
Yeah, so the Astros, and I'm reading this on thecron.com, they link to a website called fanatics.com. I'm sure Tyler's been on it. Maybe Joel, you've been on it as well. My whole thing is with T-shirts is that it's just a preference, and perhaps some of you like it. I like the simplicity in the front, but I'm not a big fan of the name and the number on the back. Now, they do have a version of that in terms of T-shirts.
What's the front? What's on the front?
Just Astros.
So it looks, it's like a replica of the
jersey.
And then
they've got an H and a star on the sleeves, which is pretty simple. It doesn't bother me. And then they have the number on the back, the number and the name, like Altuve number 27 on the back, if it's orange. If it's blue, you can get a solid one where it doesn't have the name and the number on the back. Mm-hmm. But why wouldn't they do that with the orange as well? Why don't they have a solid Astros T-shirt where it's just says Astros in the front, but nothing in the back? They only did that for the blue one.
Well, but I mean, is the lettering the traditional or is it the gold? Because I'm sure that it's a limited time only in terms of
Yeah, it's just like gold lettering, and then it has. See,
yeah,
the orange
maybe one. It depends on the blue is traditionally worn on the road, so because they're only wearing these at home for the opening series, they might not do it with player identification. I don't know.
But they did it for the women's as well. I just think. The orange T-shirt with nothing on the back would be, that'd be my first one that I would buy.
Any of this gear jump out to you guys and say, I got to get that? Tyler, you're a big gear
just
guy.
Just a T-shirt.
I am kind of too. I'm a gear whore. But, I mean, The only thing that I would get is I would get the hat with the gold star.
Yeah, and that too.
That's really the only one that's kind of standing out to me. But even then, like, I think the gold star, it's too light.
I agree.
There's not enough Astros orange on it for me.
Okay.
But I don't know, maybe one of the shirts, or I think they're selling like golf polos.
Okay.
And there's a long sleeve shirt that I just saw that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm a hat guy, and I think that, again, that's kind of a unique twist on the World Series to have that hat, because I have all the other Astros hats. I would get the fitted on-field hat with the gold star just because, you know, unless you win the World Series, you don't get a chance to get something like that. But overall, the other stuff, and I'm sure it's pretty highly priced. I didn't look at the prices. I'm sure Dix will try and do a sale just to loop you in and then
screw
you over.
The jerseys, the autographed Altuve jerseys are pricey.
Well, if it's autographed, sure. But what's just, if they have the authentic jerseys, I would imagine that they're at the same amount, if not more, than what the other on-field jerseys cost, too.
$479.99 for the Jose Altuve Houston Astros Fanatics authentic autographed 2018 gold program majestic replica jersey.
Oh, that's because it's autographed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's autographed. But for $500, if he keeps doing what he's been doing, you might be getting a steal as an investment overall, because as the price is only going to go up if he continues to put the numbers up that he's put up as the American League MVP and with all the things that he's done. That's not a bad deal per se, but if you just want the jersey itself, I would imagine they're probably more expensive than just the regular on-field jerseys at the Astros.
I mean, yeah. Realistically, though, like if he maybe has another couple AL MVP seasons, mm-hmm. how much do you think he could sell one of those jerseys? When it's all said and done, say when if he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
like,
$2,000, $3,000
I was just going to say, because they sell it. Yeah. They already sell it at the store, like the game worn ones for that close already, like $1,000 or $1,100.
Yeah, especially if they're game worn, that because that's such a unique thing that you can't find anywhere else.
Is that simply because they're game worn and that's
it? If it's game worn, again, the biggest thing with autographs is how unique it is, right? If it's mass produced and you go to an autograph show and he signed like 1,000 items, and so he signed a ton of jerseys, the value goes down because it's supply and demand. Yeah. There's a huge supply. But if you know that he only wore a certain amount of jerseys for the year and you got one of them and it was one that you could verify he wore, then the unique factor makes it more valuable. But yeah, I mean, as you get to these guys that as they get closer to Hall of Fame type, you know, career numbers and stack up the stats, it becomes more and more valuable. That's why people collect autographs like they used to collect cards, because you can get something now for a price and you're going to probably get, if they continue to go on a positive upswing, you can probably get double, triple your money.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, only because I really would like to see in this Gold Rush series or limited edition merchandise, an orange T-shirt that's solid on the back. I don't know. But I probably would try and get the cap, just like Tyler said.
Well, I think El Jefe should be on that for us.
He should.
Yeah,
I can't be too gritty because he already gave me the one that I'm wearing right now.
Man, the one that I missed out on that he was tweeting out about was the one with the astronaut on it, and it had the astronauts holding the flag that has 2017.
Oh,
on
I
it.
Didn't see that one. I saw the one where the star was.
Dude, that one sold out within like 30 minutes.
Wow! I saw the one he did where the star was red, white, and blue, and it said it was a snapback, but on the back above the snapback, it said something about for freedom and everything.
I think
like
that's one of the promo hats that they're going to wear. So like they had the pink one for Mother's Day.
Right.
I think that one's either going to be
Fourth of July
or like Memorial Day or something like that.
Yeah, but look, I mean, the Astros, if it's not across the board, a team should be rewarded for winning it all. And if one of the rewards is you're able to make four different opening days and be able to sell stuff with gold on it, you know, so be it. As long as they keep winning, don't hate on that.
Exactly.
Better than the alternative of picking up the ass end of the deal. So
for sure.
Well, Nicholas, we appreciate you filling in.
It was fun. Thank you.
We will talk to you tomorrow behind the window. Tyler, as always, thanks to you. And good luck with the condominium and the interior decorating here in the office as you continue to live here. Barry's back tomorrow as he did not get selected for jury duty, and I will be here as well. So we appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Stop and get to uncle tonight, gang.